Did you know? No, this isn't an episode of SportsCenter, but did you know that there is actually a button on our podcast page that tells us that people want more Reality Rant?
Dude, I didn't even know that.
Dude, check your email. I mean, it's in there. It's kind of crazy. They click that button, they say, we want more, we want more. And yeah, people click that because apparently our lazy asses haven't done nearly enough gabbing.
Yeah, I'd say we should make it our New Year's resolution to do the show more often, but then we would fall into the 99.995% of Americans who don't follow up on that. So
we could say that, we could be that 0.5%. That 0.5% of Americans who, I don't know what the hell they do. I've already forgotten. I think I've already given up. No. Yep. We are not going to give up. We are going to be here for you folks. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, so strap in. And when I say we, I'm talking about myself, Eric Pierce, and himself, Bill Hammond. Yeah, we're back. You probably listened to us a couple of times. You probably wouldn't even know we existed if you didn't have us on iTunes. Yes, that spiel is coming. Get ready. Here it comes. Yes, we appreciate you keeping in touch with the Reality Rant Podcast. You know how to do it. Download us on iTunes. That's right. Subscribe. We love it. You can tweet us in the face on Twitter. That's at Reality Rant on Twitter. You can email us at realityrantpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, there's a Facebook page too. You can like us on Facebook. Or scarier yet, did you hear that you're soon going to be able to sympathize with people on Facebook? That's right. People have been craving a dislike button. And instead, Facebook decides to give us a sympathize button.
So we can't do a thumbs down, but we can do a aww.
You got it. So wait for it, folks. It's just going to be the next thing. Oh, by the way, every time you sympathize, they're going to log your address, your location, and the name of your firstborn child. So make sure you have your blood type ready, because that'll be next.
So remember, like us, but sympathize with communists.
Yes. Be a communist sympathizer, and maybe, just maybe, you can end up winning on Survivor like Tyson. Let's make this clear. This season of Survivor had a lot of interesting points, and especially towards the end of this season, I was rooting really hard for Sierra.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll defend it. Don't worry about it. But the biggest problem was when I look at Tyson as a winner, which, let's make this clear, he deserved to win this game, no doubt about it.
Yep.
This felt like a Kim Spradlin season.
It was kind of like the first Redemption Island season. Like, Tyson clearly won, but, you know, it's Rob Mariano against, mm-hmm. you know, those neophytes.
It was painful because all I could do was sit here and say, people, wake up, get in there, compete, what's wrong with you? And I only give credit to Sierra because she seemed to be one of the few people who realized, okay, I need to make a move. Mind you, she did it at least one, if not two tribals too late.
And she did it in the wrong way. This season, more than any other, we've seen audibles of tribal council. Mm-hmm. That's not how you play the game.
No, you should have been doing this well before at camp. Slow, methodical working.
I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from Hayden because he played the only card he had and somehow it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a big game move to decide, oh, wait, I guess I am four. Let me draw rocks and gamble 66% of my game.
No, that wasn't the big game move by any means. And the bigger thing is, it's not making a big game move that makes you the winner of Survivor. It's executing one successfully. And that's something that no one really did, other than Tyson basically sitting on his thumbs the entire game, laughing his way to the bank.
Exactly. And memo to Jeff Probst, voting with a unanimous tribe is not a big move. I don't care if she voted out her mother. No one was going to hold it against her if she decided to say, hey, guess what, guys? I just can't vote for my mom. It's too emotional.
With Jeff. You know that Jeff and Mark Burnett and everybody, they were sitting in this back room saying, man, we're going to do this family season. How amazing would it be if someone had to vote out their boyfriend or girlfriend or mother or father? Oh, if only we can get a mother to take out her child, it'd be amazing. So they were banking on that happening the entire season, the same way that, frankly, Rupert was cast this season with the hopes that Laura would be tossed into redemption because they knew. They knew, and if you say they didn't know, you are a fool. They knew that they could goad Rupert into taking his wife's place.
I will say that I don't think they wanted it to happen on day one.
I agree. They didn't want it to happen instantly, but once it happened, they're like, we got to go for it.
Yep, and similarly with Sierra voting out her mom, it's like, it was more that we're so desperate for any narrative other than Tyson is awesome, we got to find something.
And you want to know what? Put people on here who are going to play the game. Now, here's where it's interesting. A lot of the newbies, I think, could have been really good Survivor players in an all-newbie season. Yeah, but as we saw, they were a step behind when you're dealing with people who've played the game previously.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to admit it, but Hayden was really good. You know?
Hayden was very good, and it makes sense why he won Big Brother. Mm-hmm. Survivor requires maybe just an extra level of sneakiness and cutthroat ability. It's not to say that that doesn't exist in Big Brother, but you can definitely get by on likability for longer on Big Brother.
Yep.
I mean, all you have to do really is avoid nomination. If you can avoid nomination for a while, you'll stick around on Big Brother. When it comes to Survivor, everyone's fair game at all times. Whoever wins immunity changes a lot. I think if Hayden and Sierra had been on a regular season, Sierra would have gotten the benefit of the doubt and would have her move timing, which, again, I'm saying it was a week or two late to have a shot of working.
Yeah.
She would have actually been on pace with somebody, and who knows what would have happened. Not to mention if she wasn't in her mother's shadow, maybe she would have played for herself initially rather than, as many of the newbies did, play thinking about their loved one. Maybe John wouldn't have been so naive.
Yeah.
Because he always thought he had Candace to kind of rely on. Well, that was stupid.
Mm. I mean, but you bring up a very salient point here. And this is our little Survivor history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
In all of the seasons where returning players have come back,
yes,
only twice has a newbie won, and that's Denise and Sophie. That's it.
And
otherwise, if there's returnees, one of them wins. And as we saw in this case, sometimes they're the entire finale.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's the point of having the newbie?
Can I just ask you this? Would you maybe argue that Denise and Sophie land in the top five female players of all time?
I would definitely make that. I would definitely make that argument for Denise. Sophie.
Sophie made a run when she needed to.
She's borderline. Like if she's not top five, she's like top seven.
Yeah.
You know.
She played very well, and she definitely made a run at the end when she needed to. So.
And she employed a very cogent under the radar strategy. I mean, a lot of people you'll see win. You know, the Natalies and the Sanders of the world who basically win because they let everybody else bury themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But she was an active participant in making sure that Coach and Albert buried themselves.
Yeah, it's very rare that you see someone playing the floater strategy, so to speak. You know, I'll let other people do the work. And when they get to Tribal Council at the very end, they always say, no, I was controlling things. I was making things happen. I was in control of my own destiny.
Yeah,
it's very rare that I believe it from that position. But we saw it with Sophie, and absolutely, yes. She was managing her position at all times.
And she was actively encouraging Coach and Albert to continue the very behavior, the very sanctimonious, holier-than-thou religious-y behavior that she knew the jury would hate.
Okay.
And hold against them. So if she's not top five, she's top seven.
I'd like to take a brief step back here to talk about a former champion.
Okay.
I want to talk about Aris.
Yes.
Was his downfall, and eventually Vetus's downfall, a cause of bravado? Because the show, I think, did an amazing job editing this and making this clear. But literally, Tyson and Jervis basically laughed in his face, demeaned him, and set him up for the fall. Yet the entire time, Aris kept on sitting there saying, oh, we're good, I'm locked, I've got them in my pocket, no problems. Do you think that they either edited that out of order, or do you think that's the truth, that Aris just completely missed the signals? Because I'm sorry, if I'm on the island and someone starts talking shit about me, or acting like, oh, it's Mighty Aris, he's taking care of that, he's going to eat a little more than everybody else. I mean, that's one of the biggest red flags in the world, especially if you're supposedly in my alliance. It's one thing if you're against me, but if you're supposed to be in my alliance and you're saying that shit, whoo!
I think it was a case where Tyson and Jervis kind of acted that way in front of Aris while they were at Galong originally, when they were in the same alliance, and like he just kind of got used to it. Then when Tyson and Jervis did it again at Tadhana, they figured, oh, I was like, oh, it's just, you know, him being, it's just Tyson being Tyson, not realizing, oh crap, he's actually, you know, selling me down the river here.
I mean, not that Tyson even needed to do that. I kind of felt like it was a bit of an overplay, but he was getting away with it. I can't blame him if he's getting away with it.
Yeah, and as he said at Final Tribal, he never did it with any kind of malice or forethought. It was really just, he's the biggest threat to my game. I need to be able to, you know, dock points from him to the point where everybody's willing to get rid of him instead of me, you know?
Now, critical question here.
Yes.
And I know you're not going to like talking about this, but
okay.
I think the audience needs an answer.
Okay.
When it comes to Survivor Blood versus Water as a season,
mm-hmm.
was Monica a critical component, or would the whole season have been better without her?
Whew, that's a good one, actually.
I know. I mean, let's just start here. Do you ever want to see Monica on Survivor again?
Not really, but I didn't really want to see her in the first place.
Exactly.
Everybody out there in podcast land,
you understand Bill's opinion on Monica right now. As far as this season's concerned, Bill.
I will admit that I did warm to her for a little bit, but that final tribal, it worried me. It really did. Mm. Because I've seen bitter juries before. I've seen logical juries before. But I've never seen a jury where the entire point is get Monica as emotional as possible. Get her to get in touch with herself knowing you're never going to vote for her anyway.
It was definitely a bit of bullying.
I don't think there's anything
she could have said that would have swayed a vote.
I mean, back in Samoa, they kind of pulled a similar thing with Russell, like, where they kept kind of just digging into him. Mm-hmm. But they were making it very well known to him. It's like, you are not getting our votes. We just hate you as a person. You're not getting our votes. With Monica, they made it seem like she actually had a chance. Like, there was a point there where going into the final tribal, I said, at worst, it's going to be 6-2 in favor of Tyson. And when the votes were cast, I was like, oh, dear God, do we have a tie or a Monica win right here? Because they really, like, egged her on to basically give the answers that they wanted to hear. Right. So did that work? And did they all come in with the strategy of, we're going to take Tyson down by doing this with Monica? So I was
No. Do you give credit to Vetus or not for following through on his promise?
I give more credit to Aris for basically using his question as a clever way to tell Vetus how to vote. Because Vita's like, I'm not going to vote for Tyson. That was my last card I played, and I kept my word. But I don't know who to vote for. So here's Aura saying, okay, Jervis, who do you vote? Who should I vote for if I can't vote for you? Monica, same question. Tyson, since I can't vote, if I'm not going to vote for you, who should I vote for? And he says, Monica. That's where Vita's vote goes. It's like he basically that was really the gimmick. Like Vita's is going to say he's not going to vote for Tyson, and Aura is going to use his question to basically let Tyson tell Vetus who to vote for.
So, going back to that reunion and our final three, you have Tyson, you have Monica, you have Jervis.
Yeah.
So when we talk about Monica and Jervis and Tyson, all I can sit here is think that, were they this deluded? Because those that got picked off in the late going, you know, your Hayden and Sierra, obviously, Tina, Katie, Laura M., etc., all your late survivors, they all knew, and while you didn't hear it much in the edits, maybe once or twice from Hayden, it wasn't just a game of, hey, you're number four, you're going to go home. It was also, hey, Tyson's going to win this game. Tyson's going to win this game. Tyson's going to win this game. How did Monica and Jervis delude themselves so deep as to believe that if they got to a final three with Tyson, that they had a shot of winning? And as much as Jervis in that finale said, hey, I was going to stab you in the back. Sorry, man, I didn't want to admit that, but bull. I didn't see you trying to stab him for a second. There were too many opportunities for you to grab the other side and try to flip them. While you still had the numbers over the other side, and you didn't take it.
And that's the thing, it's like, when was the last time that Monica and Jervis truly would have had the numbers had they flipped? Like when was that point? Because
seven?
I was like, I'm thinking as far back as when they sent Laura back to Redemption. And it's like that. Mm-hmm. That's about as far back as I can think maybe it was possible.
I mean, the opportunities were there, but they also did cannibalize pieces of their own side time to time, and that makes it a little bit more difficult.
But again,
as Jeff said, and I do appreciate him saying this at the finale, you know, when they went to drawing rocks, when they were willing to make that move, Sierra did make that statement of, you know, I'm not here to play for fourth, I'm here to win. And Jeff echoed that. I'm here to win. That's how you play Survivor. Second place is first loser.
Except when you say I'm here to play to win and you're gambling on a 2-3 shot that you're going that your plan's not going to work out and you end up in fifth when you could have had at least fourth. I was like, this is why Sierra was a bad player. She was way too impulsive. And while she wants to, like, you know, puff out her chest and say I play to win, it's like, if you don't have anything going for your strategy to win, you're still going to lose.
Okay. I'm going to have to argue against that one for a second. She was too impulsive. I will agree with that piece. And if she had planned her moves earlier, she could have literally done that. Planned her moves out. Been more of a strategist that we could respect. For her to sit there at tribal council and say, hey, I'm going to draw rocks. I will say this. It was the right decision, just way too late. Because as you said, 2 in 3 chance it's going against you. 1 in 3 chance it goes in your favor. If it goes against you, as we saw, she ended up in 5th place, which was worse than the 4th place she would have had. The problem being, and especially seeing how Monica reacted for the rest of that game, sticking with 4th was 4th. That assumption was correct.
Well, and see, I don't necessarily think so, because, one, there were complaints about Monica being too paranoid throughout the season and too wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this whole, oh, they were picking on you and saying mean things. Like, no, they were making honest assessments about her game and why they were worried about her as an alliance partner. And she definitely showed why at several points. I think had she stuck with it, she probably could have convinced Tyson Jervis to take Monica out and forth instead of her.
Mm-hmm.
But once she made that move, it basically sealed the final three, because there's no way you can vote for... There's no way you can keep Sierra around, because as dumb as the drawing rocks was, it impressed enough people on the jury that they would have given her the win.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, and you couldn't keep Tina, because, again, just to have
don't
a different option...
Don't give them that alternative of someone super nice to vote for.
You know, I mean, Monica's jury speech is, you know... And I think this was kind of mischaracterized. The reason she kept trying to basically differentiate herself as her own person and all that other stuff like that, but mm-hmm. but also the reason that she never made a move against Tyson, it was kind of illustrated when Tina came back from Redemption. She's like, everybody thinks that you're not loyal. Well, then I'm going to prove my loyalty by voting you all out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I could definitely have seen a scenario where if Sierra had never flipped... And I should say, never flipped for about the 4th time. She flipped so many times. How did Foxy put it? She flip-flops more than a footwear to same name. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If she hadn't flipped that last time, I could definitely see a situation where, especially with Tyson winning that last immunity, that they would have cut Monica in her favor. But also, as we saw in the last episode before the finale, the penultimate episode, where Sierra came from dead freaking last to win immunity.
Yep.
She, again, if she hadn't flipped, if she hadn't became persona non grata, she probably could have won her way to the end and made a really good case for the money. But
never know. Never know, and that's the difficult thing about Survivor. But again, core of the question, were Juris and Monica just as brainwashed? Because
while Tina
and Sierra were kind of grasping for straws, they were doing stuff. And you can never hate someone for doing things, even though you may not agree with what they do.
Jervis and
Monica were sitting there, both supposedly believing they had a genuine shot to win the game
mm-hmm.
without taking out someone that was clearly above them.
I think Monica believes her hype a bit too much. But as far as Jervis goes, I do genuinely believe that if he saw a golden opportunity to get rid of Tyson and not be the next one gone, he probably would have taken it. And again, it's not a bad idea to keep mentioning this when you're thinking, hey, if this jury's really pissed at Tyson and thinks of me as just a second banana, well, just, you know, pull the Sanders strategy. Well, I tried to get rid of him. I would have had the situations lined up, you know.
I think it's a fair argument.
Sandra made that same argument to win Heroes Villains. Like, I tried to tell you to get rid of Russell, but you never did, so give me $1 million. He's like...
I'm going to bring up one last topic as far as this season of Survivor is considered, and then okay. We can talk future Survivor.
If it's not the same one I'm thinking of...
You can add one too. Don't feel free. But I want to talk about the individual immunity idols for a second.
Okay.
Not once, but twice, Tyson had an idol that he kept secret from his alliance.
Yep.
I personally, as a player, completely... And I'm talking as a player, not an analyst.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why someone might choose to do that, but if you're in an alliance with me and you're trying to say, hey, we need to trust each other, blah, 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 and especially in the first instance where you had us all running through the forest, searching, 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 and you had this in your pocket, the instant I find out you have that first one, I am now thinking, your ass is grass. You are the first person in my alliance. I want to go, and when the opportunity presents itself, which there were opportunities, I'm gunning for you. And yes, I know if I don't introduce it delicately to the other people in the alliance slash the other side, if I need to get them in on it as well, that it will come and bite me. I do know. And you could eliminate yourself very early.
Yep.
But it doesn't seem like anyone was offended either time that he just kept his mouth shut until, of course, you know, Monica complaining after the last one, which Monica was just the emotional voice box of this season.
Pretty much.
Can you...
In principle, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think given the context of this particular season, Tyson made the right move.
I'm not saying I think he made the wrong move. Given these people, he made the right move because he could get away with it.
Well, it's not a matter of getting away with it.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's a situation with this season where from literally the second Redemption Island duel, it was made very clear that hidden idols made you a target. So, I mean, they were burning the freaking clues for half the season.
Yes.
And given his unease with, like, with Monica and Sierra and their mercurial natures, to put it nicely, the last thing you want is for them to get complacent about anything.
Mm-hmm.
If they know about that he has the idol, that then they just start lazing around camp, and then they're susceptible to campaigning at that point. So it's like, no, keep the other hamsters busy. Keep them in the maze. You know, and it's like, keep the target off yourself and make sure that they just decide, hey, let's keep, you know, if they want to, you know, look for something that's not there, that's time that they're not spending, you know, campaigning against me or campaigning to flip my alliance. So
and the bigger issue to me, we've talked about this on the podcast before. If Survivor continues with the individual hidden immunity idols, they do need to make these really tough. We've talked about possibly making them be passwords or just something a little sneakier. I mean, it was kind of fun when they put it in their own camp and it was literally the lid to the rice urn.
Yeah.
But we need to be sneaky because I do not want people being able to find this basically at random or just digging around or even off of a single clue. Make those clues hard. Make people work. Don't make them such landmark locations necessarily.
Yeah, I do love the idea of hiding in plain sight, whether it was the rice bowl or tree mail or the arch way above camp and back in China, you know?
I mean, if they wanted to introduce a twist, I think we've talked about that extra vote a couple of times.
Yeah.
That someone should get one extra vote that they can put in the urn, and no one knows who put it in there. I mean, I would just love to see the moment when people's eyes light up and they're like, there's one more vote. What? But that was eight, and there's eight of us. There's one more vote.
And somehow it doesn't match the handwriting of the other eight votes.
You better be ready to scribble.
get your calligraphy on.
Write one with your left hand, one with your right. That's what you do.
All right. Okay.
What topic do you want to go for?
I got one more thing. Cat.
Okay, why are we talking about a waste of space? I know this woman must be reunion talk, right?
Does this woman have no sense of self-worth? I mean,
yes,
literally.
Yes, I did this, but not to keep Hayden. No, no.
What did you do?
I'm top. I am gesturing around my chesticles.
I'm top. Kat got a boob job to keep Hayden around. What the hell?
Which, I'm going to be brutal on this. Hayden, run. Run, Hayden. I mean, we'll start with the jealousy factor. Dude, if I was you, I'd have anybody I freaking wanted. And you got this notoriety and fame from two different shows now. Good money from each. Because don't forget, players get paid every time they go deeper on Survivor. He might not have won the million, but he got some good money out of this.
You get a decent stipend. And again, Kat apparently used hers for the surgeon.
Clearly. Clearly.
Because if there's one thing we thought Kat was lacking, it was chest.
Yes. Unfortunately, the surgeon did not have brain implants.
Oh, my God. First,
we love
the
you, Kat. And by we love you, I mean, we do the same things to you that we would do to sugar.
Yes. And by the same things, we mean set up a barricade to make sure you never play Survivor again.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. We do thank you for somehow finally giving us that Big Brother crossover. I remember back when, early in the podcast, when we kept on saying Jace should have been a crossover.
Yep.
But no, it ended up being Hayden, the first one to finally go from Big Brother to Survivor. And hey, it was a good thing, and I would actually like to see him on a returning season. And I only say that because we know there will be returning seasons in the future, and there's no way of avoiding it.
Yeah, but I have to say, he answered Jeff's question wrong.
Okay.
It was the easiest question in the world. What's the big difference between Survivor and Big Brother? Air conditioning. I was like, that's the answer.
Yeah. And on that note, people did note that the one person who seemed to get ignored a lot at the finale was Marissa.
Yeah, she's the only one who didn't get to actually talk. She's the only one.
Funny because there were a couple times he had to kind of gesture over to Marissa, like specifically when he started saying, this was one of the easier seasons. And apparently she was like, what are you talking about easy? And it's like, Marissa, trust me, just be quiet there in the corner. Sit down, girl. I'm like, first of all.
You get a seat in the front row because your uncle made the final three, but otherwise, shut up.
But again, I would love to see her come back.
If they're going to start, continue the trend of bringing back pre-merge boots, yeah, get her back on.
She deserves a shot. I think she was actually capable of playing and containing the quote-unquote angry black girl that her uncle could not.
Yeah.
And she did get screwed by him. I don't care what anyone says. She did get screwed by him, and it's such an injustice that Jervis makes final three after pulling that crap.
And I will say this, though. I knew from day one that Jervis wasn't going to win because as a long-suffering Eagles fan myself, I know what it's like to get to the end and lose.
He would have had to renounce that association.
He would have had to put on a Giants shirt. I'm sorry.
excuse me? Giants? Have you paid attention to the Giants this season?
This season, but...
Five interceptions last week? Come on.
But historically, over the last decade.
The first time since 1995. Keep rubbing it in, folks. Let's talk about Future Survivor. Future Survivor.
Yes. Brawn versus brains versus beauty, which is different from every other season of Survivor. How exactly?
That was my first drift. I know people out there, especially Andy Denner, have mentioned it's like, hey, Big Brother did this twist. It's like, yeah, but even if you look at it, it's like Survivor Sucks has leaked some of the cast members. I dare you to look at there and pick out the beauties, because you'll see 12 pictures so far, and of them, at least 10 of them could qualify as the beauties. One or two I'll pick because they've clearly put up model headshots, so they're being picked for that. But it is one of those where I would laugh. And maybe this is a disappointment that I didn't get cast on this season. I mean, I didn't apply. Let's make that clear.
Yeah.
But I love things like this where they try to pigeonhole you and peg you, because they could have easily put me probably on the brains or the brawn tribe, and people would be very confused. I mean, given I did not apply to the season, but I would kind of sit back and laugh if they tried to peg me into one of these categories, because one of my biggest problems is that I tend to fall into multiple categories. I mean, heck, right now I'm doing P90X. Don't ask me why. Do not ask me why. I am very sore as I do this podcast currently. However, if someone put me on the brawn team, I would kind of laugh, because I'd be sitting here saying, now I have to act dumb while manipulating people who are probably cast specifically because they are dumb.
And this is the thing, is like, I guarantee you the entire first episode is going to be sound bites of people going like, how come I'm on the brain tribe with these nerds? I should be on the beauty tribe. Or every single girl on the beauty tribe going, I'm more than just a pretty face and I'm going to prove it. Like, no, you're not.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry. Survivor does not really have a penchant for casting non-beauties. I mean, you're literally going to have a tribe of models, a tribe of muscular models, and a tribe of slightly less than models because maybe one of them wears glasses or they never just thought to take up the profession.
Mm-hmm. You got it. And let's call it what it is. The first 4 or 5 weeks of immunity are going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they really cast that brawn tribe stupid as hell, they will win so many immunity challenges. It's going to be disgusting.
Yeah, like the one positive thing about this setup is that we're going to get to watch the beauty tribe get Matt Singed.
Here's the problem. If the brains tribe doesn't have physical ability, the beauty tribe might get away with it. Again, if they let one smart person leak onto the beauty tribe, we're in trouble. And we're just going to see the nerds get knocked out, which is really sad because we've talked about it 1,000 times. We like nerds on Survivor. Hell, yep. We got our little Cochran cameo at the finale.
That was a bit. That was a bit much.
Oh, it absolutely was. It was shameless CBS promotion.
But and here's the thing, when we were told, you know, back when this season started, that, you know, hey, stay tuned for next season because it's going to be an all newbie season, and we're like, yay! I thought to myself, like, when was the last time that we had an all newbie season with no weird twist that screws with the tribe dynamics?
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Token Sheens. Token Sheens, okay? And I thought, like, this will be a great season because it'll be the first time since it'll be season 20, 28? And the first time mm-hmm. since season 16 that we will have had basically a pure game of Survivor, except we decided to do this. So, like, yeah, we're gonna have newbies, but they're all gonna be pigeonholed based on IQ or muscles or headshot. And mm-hmm. then again, about five or six episodes in, we're gonna shuffle the tribes up because every time we screw with the tribes with the tribe demographics, we have to do a tribe switch. It's happened every single season.
Let me give you a totally effed up Survivor twist, just because we're talking at length here and we're having fun. Let's take a season. So this next season is going to be 18 players, correct?
I would assume so.
Three
yeah.
tribes of six, I believe.
Yep.
So let's say we take 18 players, but this time I'm not creating tribes. It's going to be a one tribe season. So take a moment and get your head around that, folks.
That's what we hoped One World was going to be for about 2 minutes,
but it didn't quite do that. I'm literally doing one tribe, but the rules of the game are going to change a bit, at least for the first 4 to 6 votes. Every immunity competition will start out as an individual immunity competition. Okay, I'm not splitting them into teams. So you will have 18 people competing separately on that first immunity challenge.
And the last six are the ones that are available to be voted?
Not quite. I want to get evil. Evil, evil. Most of the challenges, I want them to be races of some kind, you know, complete this, complete that.
Mm-hmm.
So think like the card stacking challenge where you have to get it up to 8 feet kind of thing.
Mm.
When you finish, you immediately have to declare one person who's going to tribal. And yes, it could be the person who's currently in second place but hasn't finished yet. So when you finish, you win immunity and you get to send someone to tribal.
Interesting.
Now, here's the conflict. Do you win immediately, knowing that it immediately puts a target on you because you have to put a target on someone else? Or do you kind of, like, lull back a little bit, you know, and hope that you don't have to be mean? And only win at the end when it's basically, okay, there's two people and I gotta send you. But it would just be really interesting because, you know, when you send someone, especially that first one, so 9 people will be immune, 9 people will go to tribal. Who knows what that mix is? You can get rid of people who are far along in the challenge to help someone survive that you might not be doing as well, but you're kind of aligned with.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to pay attention to who you're sending to tribal because you're basically stacking the vote. If you know where people's lines lie, you can be like, oh, if they're going to be there, they need their allies.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many little weird twists that could happen here. And 8 of the 9 people who go are going to come back and be pissed at the people who sent them there.
Yep.
I just love the chaos that could create. It might be untenable early. Maybe it's one of those things where you start with 2 tribes, and by the time you merge, that becomes the new element. So let's start with 2 tribes at 18, get down to 12, merge at 12, and then that becomes the immunity rule for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Could be fun. Just saying, there are many ways to shake up, and I mean shake up Survivor.
Yep.
That really would change the strategy of the entire game.
But until that happens, here's Kat top heavy.
Yes. Unfortunately, I think she got the boob job to try to guarantee herself another return season.
The thing is, I couldn't even tell, honestly. Like
I couldn't either. I was like, what? And usually when you get those, don't you, like, start selling them more often? Maybe she had it recently, and maybe she's still bruised or sore and needs to keep them covered. But wouldn't you normally be wearing something low-cut? I know if I got breast implants, man, they'd be hanging out all the day.
All I know is she's bragging about a boob job, and I'm just looking over at Katie's like, yep, she didn't need one.
Nope, Katie did not.
And I feel bad making that joke.
Time ogling the girl who just lost her brother.
Yeah, like I do feel bad about making that joke given the recent events of their family. But it's like
that's respect and go donate a dollar bill. Go donate okay. a dollar.
Okay.
Okay. There we go. And any last second Survivor talk before we sit here and wait for the new year to roll around so we can really talk about these crazy people that they're going to cast?
No, let's just move on at this point. I think we've gone as far as we can with the blood and the water and whatever.
So Amazing Race happened.
Yep, it did.
I hate to say this, folks, but I've really kind of lost interest in the show. I mean, I have not even watched the majority of the episodes this season, and you can only say so much about it. Maybe it's become too redundant or the teams have become too annoying. But, Bill, what's your take on this season of The Amazing Race?
Definitely the worst that I've ever seen. I missed the first several seasons, but this is definitely the worst one that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw an element of the game that, as I say, two elements that I've never seen before,
mm-hmm.
neither of which were very nice. One was this single-minded obsession with getting rid of the Afghanimals. Because even though they seem kind of annoying in the first couple episodes, they actually grew on me. Like by the finale, I actually wanted them to win because they were just the least objectionable team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, and though they, you know, had a non-elimination the previous leg, which would normally say you can't vote for them.
You know my fan.
but one, we all know that the first leg at the Final Four is always a non-elimination, so it kind of takes the wind out of the sails there. But again, mm-hmm. they were such a fun team, and they were such a very competitive team. They actually got all the elements of the race. So I was firmly behind them, especially given that the rest of the Final Four was Tim and Marie, who were annoying as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, coming back
for that comeback season, aren't they?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
I mean, the gag of the finale was that Marie made Tim sign a contract guaranteeing her a 60-40 split of the money. I was like, you bitch. It's like can you do something that's just not bitch? It's like, just run the damn race. And then you had Jason and Amy, who won. They were likable enough, but ultimately forgettable. And then you had Nicole and Travis, who started out like as a really good, strong, likable team. And I'm like, yay for once, it's a black team that's not fodder. You know, they're mm-hmm. not gonna make make them swim like dead weight in the first leg and all that other crap. But then they became so sanctimonious about, you know, a little white lie that Leo and Jamal said about not you turning the beards, and it's like, mm-hmm. but you know, we play for God and God doesn't lie, but we do copy off of other people's paper. I was like, Nicole turned into utter ineptitude for the last half of the race. She lost a roadblock to Jamal and then tried to basically literally run up to him and look at his work to see where she messed up. I was like, no, especially after pulling the whole leader down, you don't get to do that. And then in the penultimate leg in Japan, where Leo and Jamal were finally eliminated, sadly,
mm-hmm.
she, along with Amy, did the roadblock together.
Mm.
You don't get to do it. What part of you do this alone do you not get? I mean, literally, Leo and Jamal. I mean, they made their mistakes on that roadblock, which cost them a lot of precious time. But I'm sorry, you got eliminated because two teams decided that they were going to be inept together, and between the two of them, get it right once, and then have the other one copy. I was like, I was just utterly disgusted. You know, to the point where in the final leg in Alaska, the first task basically determined the leg. Like, Amy did her roadblock on the second try. It took Marie like 8 tries, and it took Nicole like 27.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and there was no chance to catch up and pass at any point after that. So, but I was like really happy that they just completely and utterly crashed and burned, because for once, no one was there to basically do your homework for you.
True.
This was kind of an underwhelming race. I mean, again, all the likable teams were eliminated in the first half, except for the Afghanis. Too many vapid, you know, big boob girl teams that are there for no reason other than to have big boob girl teams. They didn't even go to Africa on this entire race. I was like, come on, they got to have at least one leg in Africa. What the hell's the point? It's like, oh, we're going to spend 3 legs in the Philippines. Why? You know, But and of course now here's the horrible, horrible news.
Uh-oh.
Next season is an All-Star season.
Yes, it is.
And while the entire cast list is probably floating out there somewhere. Yep. In a season of all stars, let's emphasize this again. All stars. We are going to get the Afghanis back, which I'm glad they're going to get a second chance. But we're getting Tim and Marie back. Ugh. We're getting Rachel and Brendan back.
Nobody gets between me and my man.
And we're getting the Twinnies back. Ugh.
Twinny.
Are we sure this is all stars and not all scars in my ears from trying to jam the screwdriver into my temple?
All I'm going to say.
I'm going to willingly deafen myself by the end of next season.
Can I just ask Dave and Connor? Rumors say that they're on. Yes.
That's very good. And the Kentucky boys are back as well.
No problems there, Bopper and Mark.
Bopper and Mark, yep.
And frankly, even YouTube. Isn't YouTube back? Joey Megan?
Joey Megan might be back. There's rumors that the Globetrotters are going to come back again, but like, why?
All I'm going to say is those two teams I just listed... One of them better win. As soon as they're eliminated, I'm done.
And that thing is like, unless the first three eliminations in some order are Rachel and Brendan, Twinnies, and Tim and Marie, I'm done.
You can be done. You know I don't hate Rachel and Brendan the same way you do. So I could be okay with that. Maybe. Because Rachel does have a tendency to get uber annoying, so you have to be a little cautious on that.
I shouldn't have to watch the race on mute. I will grant that they are competent racers, but they're annoying and they're overly combative, and Rachel never shuts the hell up.
But there are so many teams recently that you just feel like, man, that team got robbed. That team deserves another shot. Bring them back. Let them go. When you have a Dave and Connor,
and Rachel and Brendan are not among them. If you get to the final leg, unless you are in a situation where you know you're in Los Angeles and you get a cabbie who doesn't speak English, unless something truly disastrous happens in that last leg where you can't win and it's not really your fault, if you make it to the last leg, you don't get to come back for an All Star season. Sorry, you made it to the end. You don't get a second chance. You blew it.
And can I ask about this?
You're going to bring Jeff and Jordan back just for a whole Big Brother love fest? I mean, what the hell?
Amy and Daniel, where are they?
Who knows?
I loved them. I did. And they went way too early. And come on, you got the story. You got an amputee. What more do you need? Give her another shot.
Well, apparently you need a boob job and hair extensions.
Oh, so Kat's going to be on this season?
She doesn't have hair extensions.
Yet.
At least not that we know of. She kind of does.
Rachel Hayden says he wants hair extensions.
I was like, she does kind of rock the short hair look, so.
Nuts.
But the Farging Twinnies. As if there was ever a case to shut our borders, for God's sake.
Just leave it at this. Frack. Frack and done. Speaking of frack, let's get into some of those singing competitions, shall we?
Sure, why not?
The Voice.
X Factor, did you watch it? Nope. Voice,
no, because
did you watch it? Nope.
we'll hold on X Factor for a second. But The Voice.
Yep.
Tassan Chin.
Yep.
I know that I could sit here and be very happy that Tassan Chin won. And this is not me having watched all seasons, but the few performances I did see, I was impressed by her. And there aren't that many people that were kind of impressive this season. So you know what? Hey, I'll take it. I know, though, that Bill is happy that Tassan won for a completely different reason.
Two completely different reasons.
I at least know one of the two reasons. Go ahead.
Though both of those reasons are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Christina lost and Blake lost.
There you go.
I didn't think
you would care if Blake won again, but definitely,
well,
Christina.
I mean, the fact that he's won the last three seasons on...
That's got to change. You know, you can't have it
with horrendously subpar talent. Because he just gets the country vote.
Mm-hmm.
He got knocked out in the semis. CeeLo got knocked out in like week four. He was done early.
Mm.
But yes, Christina loses yet again. And can we fire her, please? Well, like, I'll watch the show again if she's not back again.
We're supposed to be going into... I mean, they did suggest that the seasons would rotate. So the next one should be Shakira and Usher, right?
If they decide to do it that way, fine. But it's like...
And in that argument, it helps that CeeLo and Christina did not win. Because it would be a little weird for a winner to disappear.
I was like... Last season had so much potential. I mean, I could take or leave Usher, but Shakira was such a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this really weird thing where she didn't make it all about her.
How do you do that?
I don't know, but Christina could use some tips. I mean, the only thing apparently that Christina did right this season was sober up and lose 20 pounds. I was like...
Which means she's got to have something to sell pretty soon. That's generally how it works.
Yes, you know, ex-Tina dildos or something. I don't know.
Whoa, violating the box.
No, violating her box.
Don't. Nobody wants to. Don't make her have more babies. Oy. So, that's The Voice. Yes, not the most in-depth analysis. We can sit here and talk about how we want real blind auditions, how we want you to actually not even show us the people before we hear them. Yeah, that would be great. Make blind auditions for the home audience, too. And maybe reduce the number of episodes you do, make it a little tighter. I mean, there's tons of things that The Voice could do to change. But I mean, The Voice is the preeminent singing competition out there right now. American Idol's gearing up with its whole new campaign and its rework. We'll see how that turns out, but we don't really know anything there yet. As Bill has alluded, X Factor...
There's one thing about American Idol, I will say, though.
Okay.
How the hell did it take 12 seasons to get Harry Connick Jr.?
Yeah... People have been saying that since, like, season 2.
I was like, how did it take this long to get an actual singer as a judge?
Guest judged and helped before, but...
It took this long to get an actual singer as a judge. Holy crap.
Wow, that's pretty brutal. Are you really throwing J-Lo under the bus like that?
If
I could see the smirk on my face as I say that.
I mean, I guess more I'm throwing Mariah under, but Mariah went crazy, so, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
But Paula? No. J-Lo? No. Steven Tyler? You know... With the except, he's a good rocker, but he's not a singer. You know?
Yeah, so remember, folks, if you have hate mail for all the people that Bill is poo-pooing on, send that to realityrantpodcast@gmail.com. Reading it and maybe giving Bill some paper cuts with it.
I'm taking a giant personality of the podcasters there.
Oh, yeah. Giant burr.
So, but yeah,
X Factor. Nobody watched it. Shocker.
Nope.
But here's the important thing about nobody watching the X Factor.
Did it finally get canceled?
No, not necessarily, because Simon Cowell is supposedly retooling the whole thing, and once you put Simon's name behind something, people throw money at him even if they shouldn't. More important...
Did they finally fire Demi Lovato?
More importantly, I don't know. I don't care. The Sing-Off beat X Factor. Sing-Off came back after... I don't know if you call it a one-year hiatus or a two-year hiatus. Normally, it was every Christmas time season, but... As we know, the prior season won by Pentatonix, they kind of stretched out into an actual season as opposed to the Christmas event. Then they went a year without it, and now this year they brought it back as a two-week Christmas event. If you have not been watching, watch.
And stay out of it, Nick Lachey.
Yes, please. Watch, damn it. It is the best vocal competition on TV right now. It has judges that can actually critique the singing, not just, oh, I like those shoes.
Yes, I mean, though I don't want to know.
That we start supporting the good shows.
I don't want to know about the Aka Cougars or whatever that Nick Lachey messed up on that one.
The Aka Cougars or the Acousticats?
Yeah, whatever it was. Like it's supposed to be the Acousticats, but he made a cougar reference because it was like their moms or something. It's like, really, you're gonna do this?
Yeah. This is the one big fault of the Sing-Off, and we have to attack every show because that's what we do here on the Reality Rant.
Yep.
Whoever is scripting Nick Lachey needs to be shot.
Is still paying Nick Lachey needs to be shot.
And if they're not scripting him, and this is what Nick Lachey is saying by himself, ugh. Apparently Jessica Simpson rubbed off on him just a little bit too much.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's fun the first time. When you hear it the 28th time, I realize you're only 12 minutes into the episode.
Yep.
It's a little difficult. Jules come to the panel. She's not bad, but she's not Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah.
Get Sarah Bareilles back.
Please. She's way the hell better than Nicole Scherzinger, but again, mm-hmm. she's not Sarah Bareilles.
Yes, we miss Sarah Bareilles. And Sarah Bareilles has got a single out now. What happened?
Holy crap.
She's touring or something, but...
She's actually deciding to have a career again. Yay!
I mean, I'm happy for her. I hope she makes the best decision for her, but I miss her.
I'll be hearing her in the cafeteria on Sirius XM The Blend in between five Taylor Swift songs in the cafeteria and wanting to kill myself.
I did make my pick at the beginning of the show, as I tend to always do, and... This was off of the opening number, and I did have a bit of a scare with this group so far, but Philharmonic. Philharmonic will win the season. I'm sorry, I just spoiled and ruined it all for you. But there it is. We have six teams left right now. There's a double elimination coming up Wednesday night, so depending on when you listen to this podcast, there may be two more teams already gone. But you heard it here first, and by first I mean seventh. Philharmonic will win.
No, they won't.
No, they won't, huh? Who will?
I don't know who will, but they're my pick, too, so they're going to lose.
Oh. Is that how it works? They have to do something immensely stupid to lose. And, yes, they've been in that bottom two, but that was kind of a, okay, everyone's going to take their turn kind of thing. They weren't that bad, but other teams did show up that night. Element. It's disappointing to look at Element knowing that groups like Delilah preceded them.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're ever going to see an all-girl a cappella group win this. And I actually think that's a good thing.
It is, because they're more obsessed with being an all-girl group than being a good group.
Definitely in Element's case. Delilah, I think, was more about being a good group, even though there still was a certain tinge of that female empowerment, which is, you know, understandable, because you're fighting against the grain here. But I think the real truth is that you need to embrace all. I think it was really good to see Pentatonix finally be the first co-ed winners of the sing-off. Because there are certain things girls can do that guys can't, and vice versa. And I'm not just giving you the birds and bees conversation, people.
Yes.
Get your mind out of that little gutter. But when it comes
without to... Without the gutter, I have nothing.
I mean, you listen to Home Free and that guy with the bass of the gods?
Yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, I'll tell you right now. You know me, I'm not a big country fan, but I do respect it when it's done well. Screw country. If that guy just comes out and drops that bass note for 5 seconds every time, I'm voting for Home Free all the way.
Just at the same time, he can make an entire career off the Papa Mau Mau. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
So.
And I will laugh at this in their intro. If anyone caught that, Home Free did the whole "Baby, lock them doors" and yeah, they went all Scotty McCreery on us. I was like, wait a minute. That was like his signature song. You can like look it up on YouTube that they just have an edit of how many times Scotty McCreery sang that, either just walking around backstage or going to his hometown. So that scared me a little bit when it came out. But hey, we've got a lot of good teams. I do think Philharmonic wins. I also think that if someone doesn't sign Home Free to a contract, they are freaking insane. Because that's a group that's made for country music and made to make money.
I mean, they're made for every state fair below the Mason-Dixon line. So.
They could release a CD and they could sell millions of copies, period. They've got those quote-unquote pretty boys. They've got those more gristled, rough-and-tough country boys. They fit that market and they sound damn good.
Mm-hmm.
So someone pick them up. I honestly don't know how Philharmonic fits into the market. I know they're trying for that whole boy band thing, but... I think they'll win, but I'm not necessarily sure they could sell as well. I think the best-selling group would easily be Home Free, but hey, we're at the final six. We need to eliminate a couple more groups, and let's talk about this. The ultimate sing-off. People probably have watched the movie Pitch Perfect,
mm-hmm.
and that was very much a dramatized version of ridiculous, goofy show choirs, whatever.
It was Glee the movie.
You have to admit... Seeing these performances live, holy cow. I mean, I know The Voice kind of tries to do their whole battle rounds thing. I don't think I've ever seen a battle get it so right as the majority of these Ultimate Sing-Offs have. First of all, they're picking songs that actually are a little aggressive as far as the Goodbye or I'm a Survivor, etc. I'm not saying that they're good songs, but they're themed to the exit. And that is a wise move. In the future, they're going to have to get away from it because you can only do it so many times.
Yeah.
But for now, it absolutely works. And the teams have really been on point. Maybe it's because you really only have to prepare half of the song, and the song's already been chopped down to a minute and a half, so to have 45 seconds that's really solid and ideally unique and showcases you, massive credit. But, I mean, they performed the hell out of it, and I would argue that if those tracks are available on iTunes, those should be purchased. That's all.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Watch
Sing Off, folks. Again, best singing show on TV right now. So pay attention to that sucker.
Speaking of singers getting eliminated, Biggest Loser.
Oh, poor Ruben Studdard. Now, let's talk about that scandal for a second.
Yeah. Because Ruben Studdard,
to my knowledge, was eliminated.
Yeah,
and then came back.
Yeah, what do you call it when a hyperactive trainer gives her entire team caffeine pills?
Mm-hmm.
Cheatings.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. And go back through some of our Biggest Loser podcasts, folks. I, of all people, am one of the biggest advocates for Jillian Michaels. And I will agree with her on one sentiment, and this is the only thing I will agree with her on. When you are training to an extreme level, to take a caffeine supplement to push yourself that little bit harder makes plenty of sense.
I don't begrudge the use of caffeine pills. I begrudge the use of caffeine pills against the rules of the show.
In the context of the Biggest Loser, girl, you wrong. No. Or the show needs to say, hey, we're going to be supplementing all of our athletes, and that is part of the game. In which case, they should be very public about it and, frankly, market it and try to make money off of it. There's Biggest Loser everything else. If you want to do Biggest Loser fat burner pills that have green tea, Cambodia, and caffeine in them, then Cambodia? Go ahead. But that needs to be above the board.
They have an entire Southeast Asian country in them?
No, that's bull.
But here, you know, I think it was handled as best as it could be. They negated Ruben's elimination, for you know, a 1 pound penalty for each member of her team, and then Craig ended up taking the fall, you know, because he ended up losing.
Mm-hmm.
We have reached the fall finale, which they're actually kind of treating the show as if it's a season long show now.
Yeah.
Though they'll still end it in February. We are 10 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
And a season that started with 15 people is now down to 8. It took 10 episodes to eliminate 7 people, and they eliminated 2 tonight. Hap and Maddie are gone.
So
redline the entire way until they've gone. They're finally down to singles now, but redline the entire way, no votes at all. As is expected, Rachel, the former nationally ranked swimmer, is in the lead right now, of course. Mm-hmm. Ringers again. But here's the big thing. One, do you agree with this idea of basically just doing red line for the entire first half of the season?
No, because I know they will manipulate it when they think it's to their advantage.
Exactly. If you're going to just do it as a pure weight loss competition, then I do agree with it. But again, when you have these things like...
If you came on this season on day one and said that was the twist, that this is a red line season, so the only person who can protect you is you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Go for it.
Except,
and now in all these competitions, you're competing, and you could still be competing for pound advantages. You could be competing for extra gym access or a nutritionist to be cooking you your meals so that you didn't have to prepare them. You know, you could compete for all these things to help enhance your weight loss. Hell, you could compete for caffeine pills. The winner of this competition gets to use caffeine pills all week. As wrong as that would sound, hey.
But again, that's one thing. If you're competing for advantage, that's one thing. But saying every week there's going to be a different twist on the thing. Oh, this week only one person's going to count. This week someone's going to go home, and this week you're going to have double trainers. Or I was like, no. Just if you're gonna make it about the pure result, then the competition has to be pure. But here's the main rub for the second half of the season going forward. There will not be a marathon at the end of the season.
We've talked about that numerous times, yes.
There will be a triathlon.
Which is something.
And just like in the Anna Kournikova season, the stakes will be the winner is back in, automatically in the finals. All the eliminated players will get a shot at it.
Happy or not happy?
Again, definitely happy with you know, giving an eliminated player a guaranteed spot. Because I'm sorry, it's like, if you deserve your place at the ranch so much, prove it. You know, outrace them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because you're still going to have all the resources of the ranch. I mean, one of the terrible twists that they did for this was like a couple of weeks ago, decided that, hey, white team, you lost the challenge, so you have to work at a diner full time for the week plus work out. And it's like, so you can prove that you can lose weight on your own when you're at home. Except that, yes, they won the weigh-in, but they mentioned in their confessionals, we sacrificed rest, we sacrificed sleep, so we can make sure to get as many hours in the gym as possible. Well, then you've actually proven that you can't balance work and working out because you decided, hey, the essential third of my life where I recharge for the next week, it's on hold. I was like, that's not maintaining a balance. That's killing yourself, you know. So once again, the show fails on that mark. But yes, I'm always in favor of the season-ending challenge if it brings someone back in because again, prove you're better. You're not better because you survived the red line 1 week or because you survived a vote and had an alliance. You're better if you can actually outdo them in these workouts and these physical tests.
Right.
But more importantly, upping the stakes from a marathon to a triathlon. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be like a sprint triathlon where it's like, you know, a mile in the water, like 30 miles on a bike and like and then a half marathon to end it. But like we're not going to go Kona Ironman here, but again, up the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stop showing us the freaking kids. We don't care about the kids. You know, stop showing us Dr. H. We don't care about him. Stop showing us people's family. Stop showing us Bobby coming out to his dad. We don't care. Up the stakes. And then pay it off by please upping the prize pool. Cause come on, a quarter of a mil for the shit you put these people through. Come on.
Yeah. We would like to see the prizes on many reality shows be fixed up a little bit. Obviously, we've said numerous times that The Biggest Loser is not about the money. But, hey, if you're going to put the money up there, put the right amount. So, I don't think that's asking too much. Come on, folks. Make people happy.
I mean, and again, just pay them off. Because now, with this whole caffeine pills thing, we know that you're artificially manipulating things. It's like, we've had several testimonials from contestants and doctors over the years that have said that this is not the way to lose weight. This program does more harm than good. They're being bullied and everything like that. Like the weight loss is not maintainable for the most part. You know, well, when even you guys are going to admit that, yeah, this is not this all this is not above board, at least pay them off for the experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Any other reality schmutz we need to be talking about right now?
Some schmutz. I've heard rumors that Whodunit's going to get a second season.
Ooh. I would take that just for the entertainment factor. Again, we said they didn't necessarily nail the Mole-esque level of mystery. Again, Mole-esque, not celebrity Mole-esque. But
or it was definitely Blue Dot on Your House Mole-eskers.
Still, one of the things I would love to do, you have to put a returning player in the house. One of the few times I actually would agree with doing it. And I would love if you put Chris back in.
Oh, wait, look, you're back from the dead.
You know, put Chris back in and use her as a twist of some kind. She escaped prison.
I think we've said this on the podcast when we talked about the finale. It's like, don't just bring Chris back, but make her the first victim, you know?
I don't know if I'd necessarily kill her right away.
I mean, just to make it clear, that's a whole new game kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
if you're not gonna do a returner, then yeah, go ahead, bring her back, or let her get killed off in some way to make it like I didn't like what she did.
Yeah,
I can do it so much better. She was sloppy. I had hired her to do my bidding.
Her poems were stupid, and I am not Cupid, and I don't know.
Yeah, just build on the story. Have some fun with it.
I'm playing this game like those guys in The Clue did. I don't know. The West Side. I'm losing it. I'm loopy right now.
Oh, craziness. But you know what? That loopiness is good because that means that we've done our job. We've talked our butts off and We've hopefully caught you up on all that reality news you can use and abuse. You know, that's what we like to do here on the Reality Rant Podcast. We will get back on these airwaves soon enough. Keep on sticking in there. And more importantly, have a great holiday season. Those of you who've already celebrated Hanukkah, congratulations. We hope you had a great time. And you know what? Nobody says that you can't celebrate Christmas, too, and just kind of get the gifts anyway. So tell all your friends who don't pay attention to you during the year when you talk about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and don't realize that you're Jewish. Just, hey, where's my gift? Some of them might be dumb enough to give you an extra one. So just take it. Take it, yes, and enjoy it. And for those of you who are celebrating Christmas come up, you know, there's this little holiday called Kwanzaa. No, who are we kidding? Kwanzaa, yeah. Forget it. Crispin Hanukkah Kwanzaa, yeah.
We've already told people named Steinberg to change their name to Stevens for a month. And like, we don't need to bring Kwanzaa into this.
Yeah, let's not bring the other holidays into it. Let's just wish you all a happy holiday season from the Reality Rant, our loved ones to yours. We love you guys. We do. We appreciate it. Keep in contact. Keep tweeting us in the face on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Download this podcast. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see one of you out there on one of those shows in 2014. This isn't saying that you won't see more from us, or I should say hear more from us in 2013. But until then, yes. I'm Eric Pierce of Game Changers Net. That's Bill Hammond mumbling under his breath. Yes. And this edition of the Reality Rant is...
If Kat can be top-heavy, can we get Monica to become bottom-heavy?
Ew.